Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It's the Gospel of Matthew. When I was hungry, you gave me to eat, and the rest of it goes on. I can't help but think about the fact that in these same budgets we're talking about, they give tens of billions of dollars in subsidies.
If that issue does not get resolved and we don't start seeing progress, I want a meeting again tomorrow here at the White House. I will invite the same folks that we invited today.
I will invite.
And if that doesn't work, we'll invite them again the day after that. I will have my entire team available to work through the details.
My team of communists.
Getting a deal done.
We're in the money. We're in the money.
Yeah, what a bunch of garbage. What a bunch of garbage. The House Republicans are proposing to cut like $61 billion. Obama made a warning that they'll do a $40 billion cut. Do you know what last year's interest on the national debt was? $400 billion. So, see, it's two-card Monty. I've explained it to you for 17 years now, or as many years as I've been in radio. It's a two-card Monty system that we have, a monopoly run by two gangs, the Democrat gang and the Republican gang. Now, admittedly, the Republican gang is less communistic. Notice I say less communistic than the Democrat gang. But they're playing two-card Monty. $40 billion, $63 billion, but the interest alone last year on the national debt was $400 billion. So how are we going to climb out of this? You have to shut down 20% of all departments of the U.S. government immediately, as I called for, and trickle up poverty. You've got to cut welfare 50% right down the middle. You've got to cut back on federal pensions. You've got to force federal workers to contribute to their own pensions. I mean, there's 100 things that I can name that could be done that are not going to be done because it's two-card Monty. You understand that? Now, I want to go to the culture wars for a minute because something came out that you're not going to believe. Well, you will believe it when you come to understand that MSNBC is owned by NBC, which is owned by GE, which is owned by it's a wholly owned subsidiary of the Obama administration, or shall we say the administration is a wholly owned subsidiary of General Electric. It's hard to say at this point. They had an editor from Time magazine on who said that the Quran is directly the word of God, while the book written by Jesus, called the Bible, rather, Bible is just a book written by man. This I saw today on Big Journalism by Dana Loesch. I couldn't believe it. And it was written by somebody who knows what's going on. And he said, in another example of a sort of cultural suicide where Western media types assume that all Muslims are blameless while all Americans are at fault, in this clash of civilizations between Islamism and the West, we have a recent episode of MSNBC's Softball with one-time Democratic pimp Chuck Todd standing in for a longtime Democrat pimp, Chris Matthews. Todd was discussing the riots in Afghanistan sparked by Islamist ire over the burning of a Quran by a Florida pastor. And they talked about it. And during the interview, Todd in the Time magazine schmuck stated that the Christian Bible was just a book written by men, while the Quran was the direct word of God. And therefore, this excuses Muslims from murdering people over the book burning. Now, I'm not going to read you all of the details, but it's something that you understand is going on around America. And this is really not about religion. This is about cultural suicide. This is about liberals bending over and saying, cut my throat. This is about liberals saying Christians be damned and Muslims be praised. This is about the West in decline. This is about the death of the West. This is about confirming Otto Spengler. This is about the fact that these throwbacks need to be stopped, and the only way to stop them is by using military might against them, not by any other means. Nothing will work. Nothing, nothing, nothing will work with throwbacks. Ask the boys who've come back without legs and arms. Ask the boys who came back in body bags. Ask their parents what they're dealing with over there. Ask the boys who have to face these psychotic throwbacks who live between the 9th and the 15th century whether being nice to them is going to work. Ask them. Don't ask me. Don't take my word for it. You have an administration in total denial. The nicer they are to the Islamist world, the worse they are to us because they see us as moronic and suicidal. Don't call me on this. I don't want to discuss it. I've said all there is to say about it. Anything else will be commentary upon the Bible. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. Now, the stooge put into controlling Egypt by Anderson Blooper and the other psychotic degenerates from the media who claimed that the people in Egypt were simply young people with tight dungarees and blackberries who simply wanted social justice. Sort of college-age kids who came to the West and saw the way we lived, and they wanted to bring back social justice to Egypt. And mean old Mubarak, well, he had to go and he had to be thrown out. And they put in the stooge Al-Baradei, who now said, we'll attack Israel if Israel defends itself against Gaza, rockets from Gaza. You see? So this is an example. Now, where Anderson Cooper is, who's committed this war crime, stirring up the masses, stirring up the hatred, bringing about despotism and Islamism in Egypt. Where is he now, that freak from West Hollywood? Where is he getting his hair done somewhere in a beauty parlor? Look, the media's destroyed the world, by the way, and they're doing a better job of it now than they've ever done before. So I don't want to talk about this either. I told you today would be worse than yesterday. I told you yesterday would be great and today would be a downer. Monday I'm up, Tuesday I'm down. Wednesday I'm neutral. Tomorrow I'm going to be flying somewhere. You won't even hear me. ACLU Sioux School Over Prayer banner. The banner, a gift of the school's first graduating class, has been displayed since 1963 in the Cranston West Auditorium. But the vermin, communist, degenerate scum from the end of the sewer pipes of Hollywood in the ACLU, who should all be deported as far as I'm concerned, if I had the power, I would use every aspect of the government that I had at my disposal. I would use the FBI. I would use the Justice Department. I would investigate every dollar that's ever come into the ACLU. I'd investigate their fake nonprofit status. And when they were found guilty, as they are guilty, I would take all their money, I'd seize all their assets, and I'd deport all the members of the ACLU, all the leadership, every last one of them. I'd throw them out of the country. These are the subversives of subversives. These are the people who've gone after the Bible, gone after the Ten Commandments, gone after the military, gone after mother and father, gone after the Holy Ghost itself. These are the worst people on the planet. These are the Taliban of America, the ACLU. And many of you psychotics give them money. Islamists on welfare, paid to plot the West demise. Would you like to hear this story? Want to hear a little bit more about it? You report me too. There's nothing left to report. There's no time left with a communist psychotic in the White House. Read this article from Pajamas Media. Islamists on welfare paid to plot the West demise. Their parasitical behavior obliges governments through taxpayers to subsidize their adopted country's own destruction. In 2008, the Toronto Sun reported that hundreds of greater Toronto area Muslim men in polygamous marriages, some with a harem of wives, are receiving welfare and social benefits for each of their spouses, thanks to the city and province Muslim leaders say. Polygamy is a regular part of life for many Muslims, Canadian Society of Muslims President Mumtaz Ali declared bluntly. Ontario recognizes religious marriages for Muslims and others. So then they have welfare abuse on top of the polygamy, and the vermin on the left who have attacked Christianity have nothing to say. According to one 2007 source, immigration, of which Muslims comprise a significant part, costs Sweden at least 40 to 50 billion Swedish kroner. That's about 7 billion every year, and has greatly contributed to bringing the Swedish welfare state to the brink of bankruptcy. Yet, well, shall I go on? One Iranian immigrant to Sweden expressed astonishment at his new country's policies. He said, "In Sweden, my family encountered a political system that seemed very strange. The interpreter told us that Sweden is a country where the government will put a check into your mailbox each month if you don't work. She explained that there was no reason to get a job. The statistics from degenerate, failed, drug-addicted Norway are even more shocking. According to a University of Oslo study, non-Western immigrants are 10 times as likely to be on social assistance as native Norwegians. In Germany, Muslims are 4 times as likely to be receiving welfare as non-Muslims." Shall I go on? Would you like to hear a little bit more about polygamy and welfare fraud amongst many Muslims in the United States of America? Ordinary Muslims are not the only ones exploiting generous Western welfare systems for personal gain. In 2005, the UK Telegraph reported that the governor of Pakistan's Sindh province had received British state benefits of around £1,000 a month for 10 months, plus the rent for a northwest London house. So in other words, some of them are collecting welfare. They don't even live in the country. And you wonder why this country is dying? You wonder why we have a throwboard Glenn Schmeck says or what Leprechaun says? You think I care what they have to say about anything, those sellout bums? We're in the last days of this planet, and we're in the last days of this country. And if I don't speak out, who will? You? You got Japan polluting the world, taking radioactive seawater and pumping it into the Pacific Ocean with impunity. If it were up to me, General Electric would be forced to come before the world court. They built the reactors. You say, well, they didn't build these reactors. They are the ultimate responsible party is General Electric. They should not only pay for the Japan cleanup, but for the cleanup of the entire ecosystem of the Pacific Ocean. And then Jeff Immelt should check himself into jail. You say, well, that's not done. It is done. In France, for example, when tainted blood got into the blood supply and certain people died of AIDS, the then health minister went to prison for 20 years, even though she had nothing to do with the blood. It was her ultimate responsibility. Now, that's what I call government responsibility. So there's a lot to talk about, and I guess I've talked about some of it already. But the fact of the matter is we've avoided profanity so far. We've stayed on topic. I've disagreed with anything you may be thinking. I've made no threats to anybody. We have an insane world. We have non-citizens, extremists in nature, bilking our welfare system for billions, and we have cowards running the country. Vision, have hatred for Christians and love for radical Islamists. Okay. Well, I guess tomorrow we'll hear that you cannot blame the majority for the behavior of a few from CARE. And I would say, why not? You certainly blame a few for the many, don't you? Let's do another survey on how much taxes Muslims pay in America. Let's see how many Muslims are in America, and let's see the proportion of taxes the Muslims pay in America. And now let's break it down by the amount of taxes paid for by Muslims, Christians, and Jews in America. You could add Buddhists if you'd like, and then agnostics. And then break it down any way you want. And our own culture here in Canada, or in Canada and America, all born in this country, are now assigned to being taxpayers for 30 or 40 years for immigrants who come in and hate the country and want to cut your throat. Okay, well, you can call on it. I know you're agitated over it, because you should be. They're arguing over cutting $40 billion, $60 billion. Last year's interest on the national debt was $400 billion. What is that going to mean? It's all window dressing. We need a systemic treatment for the cancer that is called the American government. The government has cancer. It is terminal cancer. And only a radical surgical treatment can stop this cancer. I'll be right back.
Savage.
It is Oswald Spengler, not Otto, reminds me of my friend Peter Chowka. I know who Spengler was, certainly, but I called him Otto. It's Oswald. Very important book, Decline of the West. He predicted that the Asiatic, he called it the Asiatic races would decline. He wrote this back in 1920 or so. I guess he saw the handwriting on the wall. He said that Asia would rise and the West would fall. As adopted by the House in February, the Republican-backed budget for the remainder of 2011 proposed to cut $61 billion. Obama's saying, well, we'll agree to $40 billion cut. Last year's interest on the national debt, $400 billion. No, it needs a radical hysterectomy. The government needs a hysterectomy if it's to survive. Because right now, its virtual ovaries are infected. There's nothing else that could save this government. It needs radical surgery and radical chemotherapy. No holistic medicine can save this country. And I don't see any of the candidates out there who are capable of this on the Republican side. Forget the communists on the left. Forget the communists. I don't see anyone on the right, because there's no one on the right. They're all from the center left. The entire Republican Party is a center left party. I would think that with a rational plan of the kind I outlined in some of my previous books, and I'm not here to sell you a book, with a radical, radical surgery of the federal government on pensions, on welfare overhaul, on deportation of illegal immigrants, particularly the start with those in prisons. 30% of all prisoners are illegal aliens. You deport them. You know how many billions of dollars you could save? Billions and billions and billions of dollars, and they start to add up. Corporate welfare, you cut it immediately. You make General Electric, for example, pay federal income tax. You know that last year they earned $5 billion domestically and paid zero income tax through loopholes that they wrote into the tax law by taking former IRS agents to work for them. So you make American corporations pay their fair share of taxes. You cut out all welfare for immigrants, number one. You deport all immigrant aliens in prison. That's 30% of the prison population. You cut each department of the federal government across the board by 20% the first year, 20%. You cut back federal pensions by 20% the first year. And you force all federal workers from day one to start contributing to their own pensions. You'll have a real cleanup going on. But unless you get a political nature that we need, you're not going to have it. So let's go to the callers, 1-800-449-8255. Henry in Albany, New York, go ahead, please. What's on your mind, Henry?
Pleasure to talk to you. Always listen to you in my patrol car when I'm going. Hey, you pretty much answered my question, but I was wondering, do you have a specific number you think that our government should be cutting to get this process started?
Because that's a good question, but the answer is not in the number of dollars. They're going about it the wrong way. They're doing it the wrong way. They got to do it systemically rather than from a dollar point of view, because you're never going to get anywhere with dollars. You got to cut whole departments by 20% in the federal government. I can name three agencies that don't need to exist. Education, environment. I can name three. Just as a side note, a Florida representative named Dimmy Doberman Schultz is expected to take over as the new DNC chair. Some know her as Debbie Wasserman Schultz. I've affectionately renamed her Representative Dimmy Doberman Schultz for obvious reasons. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com, Austin, Texas. Justin, welcome. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. I wouldn't say that all Republicans are center left. I think it's all electable Republicans that the powers that be will put into power are center left. I think there are some legitimate guys. I think Rand Paul is kind of in that Barry Goldwater mold.
But I understand that, and so is a man I consider to be one of the best in Congress from Florida. You know who I'm talking about, the Iraq War veteran, Lieutenant Colonel Alan West. Alan West is a real hardcore, terrific personality who knows the threat that we are living under. I can't say the same for Representative Dimmy Doberman Schultz on the Democrat side. She may as well be one of the Dimmies that they talk about in the Muslim world, if you know what a Dimmy is. And I didn't say Bimmy. Well, let's see what we have here on the Savage Nation. Which departments do you think we could cut without any damage to the American system? I'll name three. We could eliminate the Department of Education. It does absolutely nothing. We could easily eliminate the EEOC, which is nothing but an impediment to business. It does absolutely nothing but make certain that businesses hire totally incompetent employees and compensate totally incompetent employees for work they haven't done. So I'd get rid of the EEOC. I'd get rid of the Department of Education. And I would argue we could probably get rid of the Department of Energy, which does absolutely nothing. There is an argument to be made that we could easily eliminate most of the Environmental Protection Agency, which is more negative than positive. Even though I'm a great conservationist, I'm not sure that the EPA is a necessary organization. There are, hundreds of thousands of employees in each of these departments collecting huge salaries on major pensions, traveling the world, disseminating their gibberish to each other, to their counterparts in foreign countries, and basically impeding this nation on every level. So don't tell me that by cutting dollars you're going to save this country. You're not. You have to cut whole departments and eliminate them. There's so much that could be done. I could see a time in America that we'd have 100% full employment. I really mean that. I'm not just saying this. I think that if you were to give me carte blanche to straighten this country out, I would say that within a year I could have 100% full employment in this country. The crime rate would go down to near zero. Believe me, I know exactly what needs to be done. And it cannot be done with the dimmies that we have running the country right now on either side of the aisle. It's not that they don't have a backbone. They've been in the system so long. They're so bought and sold by their own interests and the interests of those who fund them, the lobbyists who visit them every day and strong-arm them, make donations. It's not a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. You know what it is. That's why immigrants take advantage of this country. That's why foreign countries are laughing at us under Obama, because it's almost the end line of liberalism. I mean, if Obama doesn't get reelected, which is a questionable statement unto itself, I would say he was the last in the line of the socialist communist left, and then we have a bounce back to the other side. If, on the other hand, if the Republicans commit Harry Caray again, which I think they're going to do, and he gets reelected, it's over for America. In fact, I'll make a statement, because there's only a certain amount of time left with freedom in this country, and I want to enjoy whatever time I would have left on this earth, because I know we're going on the way to the way of an absolutely despotic state where tyranny is the norm, not the exception. Fresno, Angie, welcome. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. My comment today was that I do not believe that it's the Republican Party or the Democratic Party that is the reason for the demise of this country. I believe it's the Christians, the true Christian people, because now I, from what I understand, which is complicated for me, but there's a whole group of what they call liberal Christians. And see, I don't believe in liberal Christianity. I think it's either true Christianity or it's not at all. And I know that's kind of harsh to say, but I just, that's what
well,
I...
Well, you have to be careful with fundamentalist views of religion, because the Islamists are fundamentalist Muslims. You understand that? They refuse to be compromised, and they refuse to move into the 15th century with any reformation within their religion. It's the same with any other religion. Christianity has gone through the Reformation, as you are probably well aware of, and certainly there's no need to practice a kind of throwback Christianity, is there?
Oh, no, not at all. But what I mean liberal is they vote with their pocketbooks. They tell you if the
I think what you mean is that they're an extension of the Democrat Party, and they use the churches to promote the Democrat Party and its socialist values. That's a little different than saying the religion itself is required to go back to some orthodox viewpoint. Because if you were to argue that Jews ought to go back to the Old Testament, they'd be killing and murdering day and night like the radical Islamists do. Okay. You understand that the Old Testament is filled with murder and hatred. You know that, don't you?
Yes, I do. In fact, that's why most...
Okay, but Jewish people, even the most orthodox, do not kill adulterers. They do not kill people who put tattoos on their body. You know what I'm saying? They've evolved past a fundamentalist view of the five books of Moses. They have a more modernistic view, if you want to put it to you that way, if you want to look at it that way. The Islamists are still looking at the Quran as the single book necessary on the planet, as though they're living in the ninth century. So I'm not a religious fundamentalist of any kind. I think it causes more problems than it solves, incidentally, by the way. So what would you like to talk about? General Electric and the nuke disaster? Going after Google as a monopoly? Yeah, good luck. Good luck. They put Obama in office along with some of their other friends. And so if we had a legitimate Justice Department, the antitrust division would be investigating Google, in my opinion. Google is clearly a monopoly. It should be investigated from the point of view of an antitrust action. Okay? Actually, the government will never do it, but you see, if you're an antitrust attorney listening to this show, you could probably bring a class action suit against Google, a class action antitrust suit, and you could probably make billions of dollars, by the way. don't think this is the only way I could make a living. Believe me, I could make a living many other ways. I could go and hire an antitrust lawyer and bring actions against. I mean, there's many things I could do that I won't do because I'm an honest man, and I wouldn't do this. I don't need to do it. I don't want to do it, but it could be done. You don't have to be an attorney to bring a class action suit against a corporation that's actually breaking the law. You just go hire a team of antitrust attorneys, and you organize the entire case. And then they go after the company. I can guarantee you there's a lot that they're hiding that they would settle, incidentally. So I'm giving you some ideas to throw around and work with. You know what I'm saying? New York, Al, W-O-R. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael. This is Al from Butler, New Jersey. We're Michael Savage country out this way. Listen,
thank God.
First of all, we must not forget what China did when the executives of the Chinese company that put out the tainted milk, what their solution was to their executives. My other statement is, Michael, are you trying to rally the left around?
No, I don't really care. I don't think they kill, and I think that they ignore me. I think that their targets are someone others than Michael Savage. I've had my day, and I don't really care what they do. All I care about is what I do. And if I may write novels, I wouldn't write another nonfiction. I might just continue to write novels. That's about all. In which there will be a lot of politics, by the way, but it'll reach a larger audience. You see what I'm saying? There's a way to reach a larger audience without being overly political, Al. You understand what I mean?
Well, Michael, now I'm going to have to work real hard to make sure Obama is elected. I'm going to go out and campaign for whoever runs in the Republican Party. I do want Obama to leave office.
All right. Well, to each his own. Don't make them equivocal, the equivalent. You know, they're talking about a government shutdown. What would actually happen if they shut the government down? Who listening to this show would suffer if the government shut down for a month? What wouldn't happen? Let's see. The flyers I get in the mail from the polluting postal truck wouldn't arrive for a month. I mean, all the mail I need either comes by email or by Federal Express or UPS overnight. So I don't need the U.S. Postal Service. So who would actually be hurt by it? Let's see. Welfare recipients, those on Social Security wouldn't get their check. Okay, so make an exception. Send them the checks, the Social Security recipients. Let us see what else would happen if they shut the government down. What else would happen if they shut a government down? How would we be hurt? They shut a national park? You risk getting killed by a drug cartel going into a national park today. I haven't been in a national park in 20 years. Who would go there? What do I need a national park for? Who enjoys a national park today but drug dealers who use the free land to grow marijuana? Let us see what else. Tiger Mom's cub rips competition, receives her acceptance to Harvard. Remember I told you about the Tiger Mom? That was a good story. Let me see. 1 in 5 U.S. moms have kids who have different birth fathers. What is that? What's that double talk? 1 in 5 U.S. moms. Wait a minute. Let's see if I can deconstruct this from the New York Daily News. 1 in 5 U.S. moms have kids who have different birth fathers. I can't even understand what that sentence means. What is a different birth father? What does that mean? Do you understand what that means? Researchers are also surprised when the numbers jump with moms with more than 2 kids. 28% have kids with at least 2 different men. Earlier studies, I can't even understand this. What does it show, that more women who are not married are producing welfare brats? Is that what it is? The reason, divorce and remarriage, not just single motherhood, said the study's author. Data shows 43% of the women with kids with multiple dads were married when their first babies were born. Kids from multiple dads. Their dads like dogs are dads. I knew a dad like that, some North Beach poet. He once boasted to me, I'm a father. I said, my dog is more of a father than you are. You fornicated with someone here in the North Beach area. You had a baby, you're a father? You never gave them a dime and you never stuck around. I said, my dog is more loyal to his litter than you are to your children. Unbelievable, too. Maybe they could go on Judge Judy and start crying. The lack of welfare and lack of understanding. Do you think families where the kids have different fathers have a tougher time? What do I care about that? My mother and father stuck together their whole lives. What do I care about these kind of crazy stories with a broken society? Gang rape of 11-year-old girl splits town in two. We won't even comment about that one. Who reads the Daily News? Who would read this? You know, I thought that the New York Post was but the Daily News puts the New York Post to shame. It's unbelievable to me what that newspaper is. You know, the strap hangers must look at this one. Still missing. Prostitute Shannon Gilbert, not among newest remains found in Long Island. You hear, this is with a war going on in Libya. This is with a fraud communist for president. This is with the Pacific Ocean being completely destroyed by nuclear, radioactive water being pumped into the ocean by the Japanese. One thing after another, and they're interested in some hookah found in a swamp. New York Senate confirms two of Governor Cuomo's appointees. Donald Trump supports surges in New Hampshire. Donald Trump's suddenly surging presidential chances got another boost Tuesday with the release of a poll that measured the business magnate as the second most popular choice for Republican primary voters in the crucial early voting state of New Hampshire. Oh, I hope he runs because I think he could run Obama off the rails, by the way. Sex discrimination caused woman's heart attack, says a lawsuit. What shyster did this? I'd like to meet the lawyer who did this. Millions of years of evolution to produce this shyster in a law, with a law degree. Sex discrimination caused woman's heart attack. On-the-job harassment got this woman so upset she had a heart attack, said a lawyer. Mahasti Kusha claims that incessant abuse by her male manager at the Eaton Corp caused her to keel over in the company's Edison, New Jersey parking lot. Ms. Kusha's cardiologist told her that her work-related stress had caused the blood vessels to contract, creating blockage in her veins, court papers charge. Kusha is suing Eaton, an industrial equipment manufacturing company, over gender hostility and discrimination. Class action complaint filed in Manhattan. I want to see the lawyer's name. That's the one. Move on. Why don't they name the lawyer and show where they live? Can't they give us the lawyer's name and the name of his children and where they all live and which colleges they go to? Can't the journalists do a legitimate job of naming the lawyers and their children and where their children go to college? Are you kidding me? Sex discrimination caused a woman's heart attack? Okay, we'll let that one go. Texas, Brian, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Google, and the fact that I have to disagree with you on it being Monopoly. There are plenty of other search engines out there, Bing, Yahoo. I mean, there's a whole gamut of them. And really, it seems as though any time a company comes out and puts a really good product out there that the masses eat up, everybody who's against the Microsoft Yahoo want to complain that it's a monopoly. And it really isn't a monopoly. It's just a product that people are using that they find to be beneficial.
Well, no, I certainly agree that if you build a better mousetrap, people will beat a path to your door, and that's to be lauded here in America in a capitalist system. However, when a company becomes overly large and starts to manipulate ads on their website, who gets the ads, the Google ads, who doesn't, for example, okay? When they start top-loading, when you do a search for something, why should a search engine come? Why should an answer come up that's bigger when Drudge is 10 times bigger? Why is Drudge not mentioned first instead of 10th? Because politically, they're to the left. You understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Okay, so that's a form of a monopolistic practice.
Right, though, is the owner of the company to do so?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you. What?
Isn't that their right as the owner of the company to do so?
Well, I would think that an antitrust court would determine that. Where does the freedom of choice end and the responsibility to the shareholders and to the public itself begin? That's what I would argue if I were an attorney for the plaintiffs. In other words, at a certain point, freedom of choice is no longer operational when a company becomes overly large. They have a responsibility to the public at large, and I don't believe Google is meeting that obligation. I believe Google is in the pocket of the Democrat machine. I know it to be so. I know they're in the hands of Obama, and Obama's in their hands, and they're in his hands. I know that the whole Democrat machine in California is too cozy with the Google guys. I know the inside story of all of this, and if it ever came out, people would not be too happy. I'll be right back. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. As I have been arguing for several days now, I believe that the U.S. Department of Justice should investigate Google for monopolistic practices, and I will present another argument along those lines. Here's an article that just came out. Google wades into global warming debate. Google is diving headfirst into the climate change debate with a 21 club of handpicked experts that the search engine giant hopes will drive the conversation and guide investments in climate change. But it's a discussion that even the club's members say is meant to be one-sided. If Google included people who challenged that debate, they would be wrong to do so, said Matthew Nisbet, an associate professor for the School of Communication at American University. Listen to this. He was picked. This schmuck has no science background. Listen to what this microcephalic says. Nisbet says, as to whether climate change is happening, humans are a cause and it is a problem. There is no scientific debate over that, Nisbet said. Now, let me pause right here. As a verifiable scientist myself, there's no such thing as there's no scientific debate, because that would be called religion. Once you say there is no debate on a particular issue, then you go from science into religion. But you see, an idiot in communications doesn't even understand the first base, the basic laws of scientific debate. Virtually every fact in science can be debated, down to what an atom is made of. You could still debate it probably if you got down to the smallest level components of the atoms within those the elements. I'm sure they're still debating the exact makeup of iron down on a molecular level, not the fundamentals of it, but let's say down on a more microscopic level, below a level that we've ever seen. So the group includes communication specialists, meaning liars who have no background, weather forecasters who are stupid weathermen, and basically no scientists. Whoever is in there argues that the planet is in imminent danger. So they have one idiot after another. And why is Google doing this? Well, for one, they're tied into democratic causes. That's number one. Number two, they're tied into the entire General Electric green energy racket. That's number two. They've invested hundreds of millions of dollars, according to what I've been able to read, in so-called green energy racketeer organizations. So as I say to you, there are many ways to go after Google, and here's another one. They have stacked the deck against in the global warming debate by not having anyone who disagrees with them. That's example number two of why Google needs to be broken up under antitrust laws, in my opinion.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Savage Nation, we're talking about a number of different topics on the program today. The abuse of America by the immigrants, the welfare abuse, the cultural war that we're involved in, the fact that General Electric built the nuclear reactors that have virtually or are as close to melting down as possible. I believe GE has the responsibility for the cleanup not only of the Fukushima area, but of course the Pacific Ocean in its entirety, as far as I am concerned. And you say, well, why are you saying that? I have no personal vendetta against GE. I don't know them. I don't know Jeff Immelt personally. But I am concerned when I see a president of the United States and a president of one of the largest corporations of the world join at the hip, so to speak, join at the hip. This is not good. It is not good when you see such a joinage of the government media complex. Because don't forget for a minute that GE owns NBC and MSNBC, which are basically part and parcel of the Obama administration. They may as well be Pravda or Izvestia in the ex-Soviet Union in terms of their slavish worship of everything that the Democrats and Obama in particular says and does. Here's another article in Last Minute Action. Texas inmate disputes use of execution drug. This is the latest ploy of the vermin with law degrees. Here's a man convicted of killing a woman he met in a bar 9 years ago, scheduled to be executed today. And the vermin call lawyers want a last-minute reprieve. They challenged one of the drugs that is being used to kill him. Now, you know that this is nonsense. You know that this is a new ploy by the vermin with pockmarked skin and a Coca-Cola bottle glasses who went to a communist schools in New York City either Columbia Law, NYU Law, Harvard Law, three of the worst schools in the history of the world, the scourge of the West. They came out hating America, hating mother, hating father, hating the church, hating justice itself. But they claim that they have love for people on death row. They hate the newborn. They're in favor of abortion, but somehow they march to save a murderer such as this. In Texas, this guy Foster was going to be executed. And there's a nationwide shortage of sodium thiopental, one of the three drugs that have typically been used in executions. Now, the reason there's a shortage is because the vermin with law degrees sued the manufacturer. And consequently, this has made it impossible to execute known murderers. As you know, they're using substitutes such as pentobarbital instead of sodium thiopental. Pentobarbital is a sedative that is often used to euthanize animals and to treat seizures in humans. It's a perfectly good sedative. But the vermin with law degrees from NYU, Harvard, and NYU, Harvard, and probably Yale Law School are saying that this is cruel and inhuman punishment. Killing the woman that he killed, a Sudanese immigrant known as Mary, murdered this woman. That was not cruel and inhuman. Instead, the vermin with law degrees, known as this type of lawyer, goes after the Department of Justice and says that it's cruel and inhumane. And Maury Levin, here we go again. Maury Levin, one of Foster's lawyers, said Monday that Texas had failed to adhere to its own administrative rules when it decided to switch to pentobarbital and that it had not properly notified the public of the charge change. Maury Levin, I have one word for you, only I can't give it on the radio. Maury Levin, all I can say is you're ashamed to your parents, to your grandparents, and your own people. And Maury Levin, I have a few other things I'd say to you if I could meet you in person, Maury. All I can say is you're a suicidal, psychotic sack of garbage, in my humble opinion. Mr. Foster's other lawyers, listen to this fat piece of garbage on death row, has lawyers. Now, who's paying for the lawyers? You want to know budget cuts? You talk about a country that's bankrupt? Where do you think this guy Foster gets his lawyers from? You pay for it, you schmuck. The state pays for these lawyers like Levin. Where do you think the money comes from? Foster's lawyers also say the state used an invalid federal permit to buy pentobarbital. I can't believe this. Oh, she's Ms. Levin. I'm sorry. Given the frequency of which we carry out this ultimate act, it should be done in compliance with the law, with transparency and deliberateness and care, said Ms. Levin. Ms. Levin, who also teaches at the University of Texas. Ms. Levin said it is experimental, a drug that is brand new to lethal injections. Ms. Levin, I have certain words for you that I cannot repeat on this radio show. All I can say is you're ashamed to your ancestors and to your own people, and that you should hide your head in shame. Anyway, this is the country we live in. Now, who did he kill? Foster and his roommate, Sheldon Ward, were convicted of murdering Ms. Powell in 2002. Her nude body was found in a creek bed in a wooded area the next morning. She had been shot once in the head. Ms. Levin, are you listening, Ms. Levin? Ms. Levin, they shot the woman after brutalizing her. The two had met Ms. Powell at Fat Albert's Bar in Fort Worth. Witnesses said the three had chatted there, and that as Ms. Powell drove away, the two men followed in Mr. Foster's truck. Now, shall I go into the details? Anyway, they shot her. God knows what they did to her before it. Mr. Foster said he had taken sleeping pills and was passed out at the time of Ms. Powell's death. You hear this? In a statement on a Facebook page created for this fat slob murderer from hell, Foster has written, quote, I was convicted February of 04 and am now on death row waiting to die for a crime another man has confessed to. I am not a rich man, nor is my family able to hire the proper lawyers willing to fight and prove my innocence. I do enjoy writing people, so if you'd like to write, please do. I would also like to ask those who pray, please add me to your prayer list. Ms. Levin, I have a few other words for you, but I can't read on the radio. But it's a shame that you wrote this for your client on your Facebook page. But I would say that if sodium pento whatever thol is cruel and inhumane, give him the firing squad in Texas, if that's a little more humane, or hang him. There's no drug involved there. The rope is all American. The rope is probably made in America. The rope is probably not cruel and inhumane. The rope has been tried many, many times. Or bring back the electric chair for this fat slob who killed this woman. Ms. Levin. Ms. Levin, how much money have you made on this case so far, Ms. Levin? Because let me tell you something. If I were president and I had the power, I'd investigate you, Ms. Levin. I'd investigate every lawyer on every death row case in the United States of America going back 10 years. And I'd see how much money they stole from the public, whether it be state or federal, to defend the indefensible. These are the same people who believe babies that are unborn should be executed, but that well-known murderers, rapists, terrorists should be given every reasonable doubt. Why did they do this? Well, it goes back to the red diaper dopa baby that they are. It goes back to the fact that their parents were no doubt lifetime America haters and communists and socialists who poisoned their minds. So in a sense, you could say that these lawyers are not to blame for their psychosis. But at a certain point, everyone becomes an adult, and therefore they become responsible for their own actions. So I would say that they are. Once they get the law degree, they're responsible for what they do. It doesn't matter that they were red diaper dopa babies or RDDBs, raised with parents who were communists, as I say, and then they used too much marijuana along the way, which created a toxic combination, which has resulted in a communist lawyer who has nothing but contempt for the unborn and nothing but love for the mass murderer. Red diaper dopa baby. You understand how this works? Now, we could argue over the death penalty if you'd like. I am certainly in favor of the death penalty, and I know that many of you are not. However, I don't want to argue over that. I just wanted to give you this little story about what's going on in the country apropos of our budget problem. Because these actions by the Ms. Levins of the world, who have ensconced themselves in universities at big fat salaries with major pensions, okay? These Ms. Levins and her type all around America in these universities, these Ms. Levins, they live off these death penalty cases. Or if they're doing it pro bono, it's even worse. If they're not even doing it for greed, they're even worse than I think. I'll be right back.
Savage.
So the con man president will be in the Bay Area shortly, and the price to see the con man president to get a picture with him at the fundraiser will be $35,000, $800 per person. Pricey April SF fundraiser, $35,800 per person to meet the man of the people. That's a dinner in San Francisco on April 20th. Includes a stop in Reno and Los Angeles, as well as San Francisco, part of his reelection kickoff campaign. Obama supporters acknowledge that the $35,800 per person San Francisco Obama Victory Fund dinner is a new price tag that's very high for political fundraising. After all, loyal Dems thought that the ceiling was reached last October when tickets to that Obama dinner in the Palo Alto home of Google executive, emphasis added, Marisa Mayer hit an astonishing $30,800 per person. Now it's gone up $5,000. Now, why is it going up $5,000? Well, they have a reason for it. There's no point in reading it. But let's say you're an ordinary person who wants to see the Messiah. On April 20th, organizers are promising a low-dollar event at Masonic Auditorium in San Francisco with tickets priced to $25, $250, $1,000, and $2,500. The high-end ticket to see the Messiah of $2,500 gets a donor a spot in the first three rows of the venue along with a photo line shot, according to the story. Then on April 20th in the evening, Obama will appear at a home in San Francisco owned by Mark Benioff, chairman and CEO of Salesforce.com. And at this dinner, 60 high-end communist socialist Democrats will dine with the president. Potential donors are being told that Obama will go to each table and speak with everyone individually. Isn't that great? With photographer in tow, and for that $35,800 check must be paid before you get the picture taken. On April 21st, the con man in chief goes for breakfast at 7:30 at the St. Regis Hotel in Los Angeles for 120 socialist communists. Tickets are $5,000 or $10,000. And that $10,000 gets you a photo with the con man in chief. And remember, it's still 19 months until the election in 2012. So there's your man, Obama, $35,800 per person. And you thought you had hope and change. There's a sucker born every minute in America. In particular, no deal for Obama lawmakers as shutdown looms. iPhone 5 release, big buzz, few facts. You know, I go through malls and I see the stores are empty, except in one place I see the morons, mainly young morons in dungarees and undershirts who look like sad sacks, lining up outside a door to get the latest device. I don't even know what they do on them, why they need them. They correspond with each other over what? Where they're having dinner, where they're brushing their teeth, where they're going to have a mass rally tomorrow. I don't know. What? This is the only stores that are busy are these stores selling these absurd devices. They walk around them with them in their hand, the oracle in their hand, like the truth for their entire world is in their palm. If they only knew it was zip left, zip right, zip up, zip down, suddenly the whole world, they confuse knowledge with wisdom. They have no ability to reason, no ability to think. All they have an ability to do is use an electronic device. So what am I going to do, change things? Air France dad says, let the dead rest. Alleged rape victim in Libya says they will kill me. Ugh, you really believe that one? You really believe that one? Well, what's with the rape in Libya? Okay, I can say something about it, but I won't. As I say, in Florida, they've elected Wasserman Schultz to head the DNC. I've given her a new name. Her name is Dimmy Doberman Schultz, for those of you who know what the word Dimmy means. Decapitated bald eagle found in a ditch. To me, that's a symbol of America today. Decapitated bald eagle found in a Louisiana ditch. A brutal fatal case of suspected cruelty to animals is under investigation in Louisiana. The animal cruelty doesn't involve a typical household pet. This time, the United States national bird was victimized. Drainage ditch, blah, blah, blah. So somebody cut its head off. Who did that? I don't know. I can blame anyone for that. How are we going to know who did that? iPhone release, big buzz, few facts. Obama invites leaders for budget talk. Oh, hey, Obama, the president. What did the president say today? Ooh, what did he say today? Is he back from another vacation? What did he say today? Let's see. Six terrifying ways crows are smarter than you are. What's the leading cause of male infertility? How about women? What's the leading cause of male infertility? How about the women of America? And what you got to do is watch the Real Housewives of Los Angeles once, and you become infertile. If you watch The Real Housewives of Miami twice, you become impotent. If you watch The Real Housewives of New York three times, you're liable to jump off an apartment building. If you watch each night another Real Housewife of another city, you're liable to go for a sex change operation. What's the leading cause of male infertility? Old age, weak swimming sperm, low sperm count, inability to ejaculate. I'm not even interested in that subject, frankly. What's the point? I mean, well, why should I look into that? What do I care? Leading cause of infertility. See how the people live, what they eat, what they don't eat. That's infertility. What, do you have to look any further than that? Of course, there are contaminants in the food supply. Certain plastics mimic estrogens. We know that. Just take a look at the entire lineup on MSNBC. They look like they were raised on plastic. New York, Andrew, welcome to the Savage Nation from WOR.
Yeah, hi, Dr. Savage. Hearing about Obama campaigning already 19 months ahead of time, and it's on our dime. When he goes to all these cities, doesn't he? I mean, it's taxpayer money doing it.
And he flies in Air Force One, has a bulletproof limo. Wife comes along, they eat the ribs, they get the ribs. Then she plants a victory garden with carrots the next day. Oh, yeah. It's a good deal being president. You get to do what you want.
Yeah.
And then you pretend that you're a man of the people. It's even better that way.
Oh, yeah.
It's a wonderful country. It's a wonderful life. It's a wonderful, wonderful price. $109 a barrel now. $108 and change. What are you going to do when you can't afford gas for your car and you see him flying around in a 747 with a bulletproof limousine guzzling about it? What does he get, 2 miles to a gallon? What do you think it cost him to fly to San Francisco for a fundraiser that you're paying for? Rebel Hell Libya running out of cash. Rebel Hell Libya running out of cash. Rebel. I'm a rebel and I want my freedom. Rebel. Air Force is spending $4 million a day on the war. Oh, yeah, an anti-war president. Hope and change.
Savage.
It is astonishing that the child president says to Congress, act like grown-ups. It's astounding to me what he gets away with. Doesn't no one tell this man what America actually thinks of him. I'm talking about people with a reasonable ability to think how he is absolutely despised across America for what he's done to this country. The child president is telling Congress, act like grown-ups. Astonishing that he gets away with it. But then when you own the media, you get away with anything. If you're good, they make you bad. If you're bad, they make you good. Fired NPR CEO, media establishment is terrified of being the next sting target. They should be. The government media complex. Let's see what else is in the news. Meditation is a powerful tool against pain. I can't meditate myself. Remember there was a time in the 70s everyone was trying to meditate? I don't understand what it even means. What is this meditation? It's some Eastern garbage meditation. I know. Oh, sacrilege. Savage said meditation is garbage. No, I don't need meditation. I got to my age with my achievements without it, thank you very much. I think. When I can't think, I get up and work. If I go to sleep and have insomnia, I get up and work. I learned that a long time ago. The insomnia won't kill you. Worrying about insomnia will kill you. You get up, look at the stars. The next time you can't sleep, don't meditate. Get up and look at the stars. Or get up and read something. Whatever you do, don't watch television if you have insomnia. That's all I can tell you. Meditation, a powerful tool against pain. Yeah, OxyContin works pretty well, too. So does hydrocodone works very well. I mean, there are medications that work quite well. You don't have to trick your mind into it. If you can do it good, be a shaman. Nice to use mind over matter when it works. But for the average person, they get into a situation where they're in pain. They don't have the time to learn meditation. They want to go to some guru somewhere. Take 6 years to learn how to meditate. Of course, the pain will be gone by then. Take a pill better. That's what it's for once in a while. They're not all bad. Not every medication is evil. The world wouldn't be the same without Western medicine. As much as I argue for alternative medicine, I mean, let's be realistic about it. What else is in the news? Let's see. Obama meets with Paris and calls for intensified peace efforts. Look who's talking here. Look who they're asking, the community organizer. Paris brings up the Pollard case. Pollard should stay in jail the rest of his life, in my opinion. Both presidents agree on need to work against Iran. Oh, please. Weak need. Paris warns Europeans against forcing a peace solution. Who is Paris to warn anybody against anything? Obama reasserts U.S. commitment to Israel. Sure, he's running for office again. He's got to appease the lobby. That's all. Got to make believe he really cares about Israel. After appeasing the radical Muslims for the last 2 years, now suddenly he's meeting Paris and he loves the Jews. And they'll buy it. They'll eat it up. They'll eat it right up. They'll eat it right up. That's all. Obama, I'm tired of Obama. I can't wait till the scourge is over. How many, 2 more years of this? But the Republicans are going to blow it, as sure as I'm sitting here. They don't want to win. Huckabee, they're running, you hear? If I had a hammer, I'd hammer in the morning. What's with the guitar? How could you vote for that man? Huckabee, they're going to run. You hear this? A Fox News guy. I'm sure he's a nice guy, but he's not presidential material. I could get a larger turnout than he could. As a matter of fact, they keep this up. I'm not finishing the sentence. That's what they would like, Obama. Oh, would they love me to run? Wow. To fracture the Republican vote. I could destroy the Republican Party. If I ever ran for the presidency, if I quit radio and threw my hat in the ring, I'm sure I could get 12 to 14% of the popular vote, given the number of years I've been radio, the number of bestsellers, the number of listeners, the excitement that would be generated. The problem is I would never go out and do fundraising. It would all have to be done on the internet. That's number one. I would only do speeches by video because I don't like to travel and I don't like to give speeches. That's number two. But I would still say I can get 12 to 14% of the vote without trying. If I really want, that would be the end of the election. Obama wins. So the Democrats hear this, they're going to want me to run for office. That's why I won't run. Told you I'm not interested in political life. I couldn't do it. I actually don't know how a man does it. I respect Congressman West. I know he's a good man, for example. I know him personally from the time I met him. This is as good as gold, this guy. And I know this is an honest, good man. I couldn't do it. I don't have the discipline for it. I don't have the ability to listen to people. I can't listen to people. I honestly don't. I'll be frank with you. You know, a talk show host to begin with is a very egotistical personality. There's no way to do this job and not believe in yourself and also not only want to hear yourself talk. I mean, that's a given. Then you can't do this job if you're really going to listen to people. And it's very hard to go out with ordinary people after a show and talk to them. I can't do it. You feel like stabbing a fork into your hand over dinner. You don't know what to do. You can't even, you want to break a tooth listening to people. Everything is like in slow motion. So you could say, okay, that puts me in a league of an elitist. I don't care what it does. I don't have the patience to go to a debate and listen. What do you think about that? Very good. That's a very good question, John. And I couldn't do that. Debate, yes. Tear them to ribbons. To ribbons I could tear. I mean, I know what they throw at me. Believe me, I know every slur that they come at me with. It wouldn't matter. I could turn it right back on them. But I don't want to do it. It's not me. The suits, the whole thing, kissing babies. Can't watch TV at night. Everything they got to watch. Bodyguards. You got to cook for people. You got to make ribs for. You got to cook rib dinners for people. What do they eat that garbage for? Greasy ribs. You have to have fundraisers. Imagine that. You have to deal with people like Newt Gingrich. Could you imagine? Imagine that, going to dinner with him. My God. Or Mitt Romney. I mean, Romney would be a better choice than Obama, just on, even if he gave you 50% of the money. But I pray to God it doesn't come down to that. I don't know what I would do if it's him versus Obama. On a fundamental level, he'd be better for the country than Obama. I understand that. But, you know, it's like a degree of difference, a couple of degrees of difference. He's silent on everything that happened. Not there. The man isn't there, like the nowhere man. You know how much, what we've been through over the last 2 years? Nowhere. Romney, zero, zip. Personally, I told you, I had dinner with him. I liked him, and I think he's a very respectable, honest man. Great family, wonderful children. But that's not enough to be a president. You got to have a killer instinct, and you got to go after the enemy for what they are. You got to go after them, tooth and claw, call them communists, tell them that they have no place in our society, that they're not American, they're acting like un-Americans, and they have no right in the to be in the political arena unless they declare themselves to be the communists that they are. See, then I would respect Obama more. If he came out and said, I've been a lifetime communist, socialist, whatever, I'd have more respect for him, because then the American people who are so naive would understand what they got here. The Europeans know this. The Europeans are far more sophisticated politically than we are. We're so stupid. Democrat, Republican, Democrat, Republican. Democrats for the little guy, Republicans for the big corporation. How stupid can you be? There are varieties of Democrats, varieties of Republicans. Don't you understand that yet? And Obama's so far to the left that he's not a Democrat. He is a socialist or a communist or a Marxist or a Leninist, whichever you choose. He's not a Democrat. He's playing the game. But they don't get it because they're naive. It's a product of our education and the laziness of the American mind. All right, I don't want to overburden you. That's all. I don't want to burden my audience with truth. It's a pain in the neck. The truth shall not set you free. The truth will give you a heart attack. The Bible was wrong, you know. The truth won't set you free. It'll give you either a stroke or a heart attack. Congress starts undoing Obamacare. Possibly one of the most boring headlines I've ever seen on Drudge. Matt, please change it already. You had it up for hours. Give me something new to work with here. Let's see what's on my website. Let's see what Art put up for me. Art, change the top two. So boring, it's beyond belief. Get rid of the top two stories. We have to look at John Boehner and Obama and Harry Reid on my website tonight. I think I'll have to go to the doctor. Quran-burning pastor will put Muhammad on trial. And we'll have to see what O'Reilly has to say about that. Build up his ratings by attacking the crazed pastor. Let's see what else is on my website. Savage ratings. Here. Islamists on welfare paid to plot the West demise. It's actually the best story up there. It should be on the top right. Instead, buried on the bottom. Next story on the bottom, ACLU sues school over prayer banner. Should be on the top. Up to me, the ACLU is investigated on a speed path, and their board of directors is indicted for fraud. All of the money that has come in has to be given back to the taxpayer, into the general fund, and the leadership of the ACLU is indicted for terrorism. For plotting the overthrow of the West, the entire leadership. See, you're lucky I'm not running for office. The left should be very, very lucky that I'm not running for office, because I have some real plans, and what you read in my books is only, I would say, 80% of what I actually believe. There's another few components of what I actually believe needs to be done that I would try to enact, but whether they could actually happen in a system like ours is impossible. But I do know that I could envision 100% full employment. The jails would be emptied out of 50% of the prisoners. Most of the prisoners don't belong there, by the way. Get rid of the 30% of the prison population who are illegal aliens. Deport them all. You know, I would say outsource the prisoners to China. They have a lot of land up there in the regions of China. So take the illegal aliens. If they don't want to go back to their nice home country, let China do it for about $1 a day. They know how to do it better than we do. Instead of 30,000 a year plus what do they call them, jail guards? So they have nice treatment for prisoners in China. Send them to China. Let them do it for a dollar a day. That's number one. Then the drug laws are draconian. Got to change them. It's crazy to have 2 million people in prison in a with the population that we have. You got to do something about the whole drug law situation. So the prisons are sucking us dry. You can do it that way. And then you know what I would do? 20% of all departments would be cut immediately. 3 departments would be eliminated overnight. Energy gone. Education gone. EEOC gone. And possibly the EPA, 50% of it would be gone. I'd like them to continue to monitor the bays and the waters and the rivers and the air. But I think the Coast Guard could probably do that. Wrap them into the same department. There's no need for these overlapping departments with all their new machinery and their pensions. There's a lot we could talk about. Believe me, that could be done. It's not about cutting $40 billion here, $40 billion there. The interest on the national debt last year was $400 billion, and Republicans are opposed to cutting $60 billion. You hear this? It's nonsense. It's two-card Monty. That's how I started this. Fort Lauderdale, Richard, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Doc Savage, in regard to Mike Huckabee running as a candidate for the presidency, I'm insulted and offended that he would consider such a move. It's my opinion that he's personally responsible for the Obama election. If you recall, during the Republican primary, when it was clear that he had lost and he would not win the Republican nomination, he stayed in the race and drained votes from Romney, which thereby created a McCain presidency.
Yeah, I don't think very much of Huckabee. He's simply a newscaster, plays the guitar. I'm not impressed with him at all. He says the right things, but so do a lot of them. It's like Newt Gingrich says the right things as well. I don't think that they truly believe what they're saying, nor do they care. I think they're lifetime jaded politicians, frankly. So that's my opinion. I don't disagree with you. And it's too early for all of that, you know. We're so far ahead of that. Period. Let me look at my articles that I have. I haven't even gotten to them yet. Look at this. General Petraeus tipped to take over the CIA. Did you hear this one? This is an amazing story unto itself. Let's start with this. Gates is nominally in charge of our military, right? So he's leaving. So now Obama's going to probably appoint the fellow who's running the CIA, whose name I forget. He's sort of invisible. What's his name again? I don't mean to disrespect him. He runs the CIA, for God. Well, who's running the CIA? I don't remember his name. Panetta. He's going to take Leon Panetta, who had no background in security, made him the head of the CIA, and now he's going to make him the Secretary of Defense, and he's going to take a liberal general, David Petraeus, who failed in his war efforts, to take over the CIA. So he's playing musical chairs. Leon Panetta, the CIA director, is expected to take over from Bob Gates as Pentagon chief. Then Gates will write a tell-all book, when they all do when they get out. How I try to stop Obama, I'm really a good guy, I'm really an American, blah, blah, blah. General Petraeus is said to be exhausted and eager to leave Afghanistan. A serious contender for Panetta's job. So he's exhausted and he's going to run the CIA? That's a really great, that's great to hear. The general's exhausted from failing in Afghanistan, so they're going to give him the CIA job as a reward for being a failure. That's good. That shows you what kind of government we have. They take a failed liberal general who doesn't have the brains or the guts to override the politicians and get the job done, and they're going to make him the head of the CIA. A total of 30 officials of the Commission for the Promotion of Virtue and Prevention of Vice have been trained on how to deal with cases of black magic in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. Air Force spending $4 million a day for Libya war. White House condemns new Israeli settlements announced on the eve of Israeli president's visit. But at the same time, Obama tells the American Jews that he loves Israel, and they eat it right up. They're dying to go to the $30,000 plate dinner. Libyan rebels want to trade oil for guns. Okay, we'll let that. Tim Geithner, military. Tim Geithner. Sarah Palin, the E! True Hollywood Story. They can't stop attacking her because they're afraid of a real woman. Okay, those are some of the stories. You can comment on them if you like, but you're never going to get on the show. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Beaten fans' family makes appeal for civility. The family of Brian Stowe, He's the white man who was beaten almost to death by Hispanic gangbangers. Thanks the public for their support and prayers and asks for help in finding the two men who beat the Giants fan outside Dodger Stadium on opening day. Reward for information grows to $100,000, but they don't show pictures of the perpetrators, you know, the police sketches, because that would be too offensive. Of course, if the perpetrators were white males with blonde hair with the Nazi tattoos, they would be shown immediately. But, there's the picture. Sorry, in case you know anyone like this, seen anyone like this recently, give them a call. $50,000 reward for information leading to the arrest and conviction of the suspects who attacked the Giants fan in the Dodger Stadium parking lot. You'll find out they're illegal aliens. They didn't belong here to begin with. They could find them in 10 minutes. Their own friends will turn them in. Their own gangs will make the money. So there it is. Go to a game and wear a jersey like an idiot. I mean, I don't blame the guy, but what grown man wears a jersey for a team? I don't understand the country I live in. How could you get excited over a baseball team at a time like this? Well, okay, I understand 70, 80 IQs is a different way to look at the world. U.S. budget gridlock remains firm as deadline looms. Ho hum, I've heard it before. I think I've seen that one before. Lawmaker drops effort to arm California legislators. They're liable to shoot themselves in the foot. 90% of the communists who have the gunophobes. Of course they shouldn't be armed. Most of them are on drugs. They're terrified of weapons. Of course they shouldn't be armed. These are psycho liberals. They're going to give them a gun? Ecuador expels U.S. ambassador over WikiLeaks comment. No, I'm not interested. Let's see what else. I'm giving you the left coast. The west coast, whatever they call it. Let's see. Syria, viral protest songs take on government over crackdown. Good luck. It'll never happen in Syria. It kills everybody who protests. Japan's ocean radiation hit 7.5 million times the legal limit. What do you care? Go have your sushi tonight. Go ahead. Go to a sushi shop. Go in there. Smile at them. Beg for water and a chopstick. And bend over backwards and they give you a napkin. There's going to be liberals in these Asian restaurants. The Hirakata Fish Market was trading on Tuesday for the first time since. Have some fish from Japan. Ask me if you can get some nice eel flown in directly for you for your sushi. Go ahead. Radioactive iodine is 7.5 million times the legal limit. Try it. Maybe you'll glow. Maybe you'll be like a day glow. The reading of iodine-131 was recorded Saturday, Tokyo Electric Power said. Another sample taken Monday found a level to be 5 million times the legal limit. Oh, it's going down. You see, from 7.5 million to 5 million. The Monday samples also were found to contain radioactive cesium at 1.1 million times the legal limit. But hey, that's lower than 1.1 million is lower than 7.5 million. The Japanese people. Go to a Japanese restaurant tonight and ask for imported fish. Show no sign of weakness. Go and link your arms together and say we're eating. We're specifically requesting eel from Fukushima waters to show that we're not offended. We're not threatened by any of this. That we have solidarity with the people of Fukushima. TEPCO shares dropped to an all-time low Tuesday, falling by the maximum daily trade limit of 18%. How much do you think the hedge funds made on this disaster? Can someone tell me if you can investigate how much the hedge funds made on Tokyo Electric and on the other companies that were hard hit by this? If that should be allowed. Should they be allowed to do that? Yeah, right. As long as you give to the right, sure. House Republican budget, which slashed $5.8 trillion over the next decade. Wonderful. All right, so there's the story. That's the whole story. The world goes around and around and around, and you're part of it and you're in it. Go to a sushi restaurant tonight and show your solidarity with Japan. Show what a good liberal you are. Ask for imported eel.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Well, they're having a budget battle in Congress, and Congress is beginning by undoing Obamacare. Let's hope they achieve that. Of course, Obama's rejecting the GOP proposal to cut spending at every turn. And as I said, Congress is making its first major dent in the health care law. What have they done? They undid a burdensome paperwork requirement for small businesses, and they rewrote part of the way the health exchange subsidies are paid for. The complex changes don't affect the fundamental operations of the health care law, but they are symbolic nonetheless because they mark the first repeals of significant provisions from Obama's signature communist achievement under his last year. The bill passed the Senate on Tuesday with a strong bipartisan support at 87-12 and goes to Obama, who will face the big test over whether to sign it. Well, he said he wants to repeal the paperwork requirement, but we'll see what he actually does. It's complicated, but it's the first dent in the health care law thus far passed by this wonderful Congress of ours. Pelosi is saying the budget cuts that are being demanded by the GOP will deprive seniors of meals, and the seniors will starve to death. Oil hit an all-time high in the United Kingdom, almost $109 a barrel. They're saying it could go to $200 to $300 a barrel if Saudi Arabia falls. Can you imagine? And our friends in OPEC, they're not meeting. Our good friends that we have fought for, they're not meeting. Why? Because they don't have to, because we don't have anyone with leadership in this country. If it was up to me, I'd force them to lower the cost of oil to $50 a barrel or tell them to go defend themselves. Yesterday, we talked about the radioactive water being released into the oceans. Today, well, what did Japan say? They're sorry for releasing radioactive water into the ocean. Says we slowed the leak, but we're sorry that we did it. It doesn't matter that we've poisoned the entire food chain in the Pacific Ocean. We had to do it, you see. I say GE built them. I say GE is responsible, and I say GE should be forced to pay not only for the cleanup in Japan, but also for the cleanup of the Pacific Ocean. How's that, Mr. Immelt? You think it'll happen? Yeah, sure. MSNBC is owned by the government. Right. Give me a break. 10,000 Japanese people are dead. That's three times the death toll of 9/11. Three times the death toll of 9/11, just to let you know what's going on. It's awful. It's just awful. It's terrible for you to realize what's going on with this disaster. But the fact of the matter is, it's getting worse and worse and worse, and yet it's off the front page, even though the situation is acknowledged to be worsening. All you care about is some drunk, degenerate, drug addict making a fool of himself on a national tour. And you complain about the flavor of ice cream that you can't get when you go to the ice cream store. Unbelievable to me. It's like an overflowing toilet in Japan that no one wants to go near. Oh, but the government insisted that the radiation levels were low. Low compared to what? Hiroshima? 1-800-449-8255. I believe that this is going to be the most important issue in modern times. I have learned that there's about 250,000 tons of nuclear waste accumulated in the world, all over the world. Oh, look, let's not get into the last mass extinction that wiped out the dinosaurs. Maybe we've already been wiped out. Take a look at what's on television. I wouldn't even call them dinosaurs. And now on to MichaelSavage.com for a quick overview. At the budget brink, deal or shutdown. El Baradei of Egypt, the man put in power by Anderson Blooper, he said, well, we'll attack the Zionist regime if it attacks Gaza. Thank you, schmuck Anderson Cooper. You should be given a Nobel Prize for spreading hatred while getting your hair tussled. The Quran-burning pastor in Florida will put Muhammad on trial next. The practitioners of the religion of peace are killing in Afghanistan because a lunatic priest burnt the Quran. But they're killing and murdering and maiming in Afghanistan. It shows you what they learned from their holy book. Savage ratings soaring. Hero police dog slain in line of duty. Dog credited with keeping missing toddler alive. Gauguin attacker angered by the decadent art. Happy birthday, Michael Savage. And oh yes, by the way, if you'd like to see a drawing of the gangbangers who attacked the white man outside the ball game in Los Angeles, you can't find it anywhere. They purged it from the media. Why? Because the man being beaten up and almost killed is white. And the men who did it were Hispanic. You wouldn't know it because it's not allowed to be published. But we grabbed those police drawings. And if you can help find the perpetrators, good luck. It's all on michaelsavage.com. Wisconsin, Jeff, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Mike, for taking it. I'll be very brief. And when Mr. Trump mentioned Nucor Steel, it hit home like a ton of bricks. Michael, I'm a second-generation foundry steel family. My father was
right
on the Fermi team that developed the atomic weapons in Chicago.
Wow. Unbelievable.
Well, it's the truth. And I, for 25 years, have been consulting in metals all over the world. I lived in Beijing before Tiananmen for 5 years, and I've just come back again. And I want to share a few things in an area that everybody is missing, but Mr.
Yes.
Trump did it. What made America? What made America was metals. It was the
yeah,
steel.
Absolutely. Steel production was key to our growth, whether it be railroad trains or railroad tracks and forward.
Michael, I will also say that I'm a level one certified military contractor, and I'll gladly fax your program my IDs. But the bottom line is this. I'm a proud American. I was there pre-Tiananmen when the cadres were with the little red books, and I was 28 years old, and I was riding a bicycle with them at Shougang Iron and Steel in Beijing. And the first thing they taught me was, think like a Chinese. And our problem now is the Westerners, our Americans, our government are thinking like Westerners. You must think about the new Chinese. What motivates them? The little Lord Fauntleroys that have been raised by grandmas and grandpas in the outlands over the last 20 years, the new generation. They're smarter than our businessmen. It's amazing, Michael. The banks.
Well, no, we could talk for hours because I could learn from you, but I want to start with a question. Appeasement is the proper policy toward Confucian China. You, of course, would disagree, I assume?
Absolutely not. You have to meet the in China, it's constantly a battle of trust, long-term mutual trust, and there will always be a renegotiation of the contract.
But, Jeff, let me ask you this. In that article, I learned that Mr. Hu, who Mr. Reed called a dictator, the president of China, Reed called him a dictator and then backtracked, that Mr. Hu had a father who was himself a victim of the Cultural Revolution. Is that true?
I believe so.
So therefore, he's not a hardcore communist in any regard. He's probably just a hard-nosed businessman. And in that regard, we could probably do better business with him.
Well, let me tell you, the people running the big corporations are Wharton School graduates, Cambridge scholars. In fact,
wait, hold. You mean they're of Chinese, they're Chinese nationals who went to Wharton?
Absolutely. And I can give you names and numbers. For example,
no, but wait a minute. So therefore, they're not thinking Chinese. They're thinking American if they went to Wharton.
They're thinking for their penetration strategy, but not on their internal. It's a different.
Okay.
It's a double-edged
sword. So they're very nationalistic in plain English. They don't just think about business. They think about how it helps the fatherland. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely.
Right, now, that's a key difference between them and the American business people who are trained not to think about a nation, nationhood, nationality, or anything to do with a sovereignty of the United States of America. That's a huge differential.
And you have to understand these paradigms before you start to really deal with them. And there's a wonderful book that runs parallel to Trickle-Up Economics, which is excellent. Trickle-Up Poverty, excuse me. It was written by John Longworth, Pulitzer Prize nominees, Chicago Tribune. It's called Caught in the Middle. Caught in the Middle. And if you draw a circle real fast, Michael, if you draw a circle from Pittsburgh to Minneapolis to Des Moines, Iowa, John Deere, and down to St. Louis, that's the Rust Belt. And it talks about what has happened in the last 5 years to us and how we can bring it back. It's major. It works in parallel.
This is a very important topic, Jeff, because I'd like to see the steel mills in America running again. I loved what you said earlier. Because it triggered a thought that I had when you said steel was the driving force behind America's expansion in the early days. I read a report that I read a book once that whoever manufactured more steel wins the war. And that was true in World War II. The reason Germany lost, well, there were many reasons. They had a phenomenal military machine. It was a dictatorship, obviously. They had fanatically loyal Nazi youth who were brainwashed from childhood. And yet they were crushed once America came into the war because of our massive ability to produce armaments, tanks, airplanes, ships, etc. Is that not a fact? In other words, they were buried because we had greater steel manufacturing?
Yes, you hit it. But let me say what's just happened. You're so timely with this. Michael, we as a metals nation enjoy the finest technology of composite metal technology, of secret metal, shall we say, and what's happening now. In the last 3 years, I'll give you two reports. One from the American Foundryman's Association, 44.
All right, I tell you what, this is so good. We're going to come back with you. We're going to learn what we can, because this is too much to digest in a minute or two. But I agree with you. We have to save the so-called Rust Belt in the generic sense. And you're going to give us some specifics, Jeff, in a short version. China, metals, steel, what should we do?
Well, it's a longer story, but let me just give you a parallel that kind of works with the Obama administration. Michael, in the last, and I'll be brief, but I'll be fast. In the last 2.5 years, America lost its global power, its global leadership in metals. It has gone to China, India, and East Europe, while Germany and Switzerland per capita are 6 times greater than any other foundry steel nation in the world in per capita output of product.
Jeff, we have to pause right here because you are a man of immense knowledge. You're arguing with a man who has converted to your way of thinking. I have said for a long period of time I'd like to see the steel industry revitalized in America, and they can take their pollution laws and throw them in the garbage as far as I'm concerned for right now. I'd like to see the steel mills reopened in Pittsburgh instead of green jobs that don't produce anything but lies. Jeff, can you come back to this show another time with a longer segment perhaps and give us a little illumination? Have you read Trickle Up Poverty at all?
I've got it. I was one of the first buyers.
Well, I'd like to read your book, Jeff, or your papers, and if you could send them to my producer, we will talk about them again on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
The question is, how are we going to stop these trigger-happy, religiously insane people? How are you going to do this? What is America's proper response? Where is there a leader in America to stand up and say, I will protect you. I know what must be done. Give me the power. Let me become the commander in chief, and I will unleash holy terror upon them. I will unleash a holy terror upon them that they will never forget. And when I do unleash this holy terror upon them, wherever they live, they will be hiding from us. We will not be quaking from them. Where is that leader? Tell me, where is that leader? Romney? Mitt Romney. Romney care wins a straw poll in New Hampshire. Are you surprised by this, that a straw man would win a straw poll? Are you really surprised that the Republican shill, another straw man who's going to lose against Obama, and that's what he set up to do again? You don't remember the last election? You don't remember how Romney was way ahead in the straw polls? The straw man, and suddenly he disappeared, and the shill McCain was pushed ahead by the Republicans in order to make sure that Obama became president. Don't you understand how it works yet? 8 years Dems, 8 years Repubs. 8 years Dems, 8 year Repubs. So we've only had 2 years of the Socialist Democrat Party. We'll have another 2 years of Obama, then he'll win again because the Repubs want a straw man. They don't want a strong man. And I allege that only a strong man can save America. Only a strong man willing to take on our enemies, domestic and foreign, can save America. China is at war with us. They're conducting a trade war against us. They bought enough congressmen and enough businessmen to continue conduct their trade. They own enough people in the media to say that we should do nothing. Hush, hush, my darling. Don't say a word to China. Don't do anything to the Mandarins. Play it very nice. They're all nice people. They're peaceful Buddhists. They're only doing what we do. Hush, hush, my darling. Don't do anything to China. You have allegedly people in the media who are supposedly a watchdog, but in fact, they're bought and sold by the Wahhabi lobby. That is Saudi money. Whether it be 18% owned of News Corporation, that is Fox News, which, as you well know, has gone very, very soft on terrorism over the last few years. They will say nothing about Islamofascism. So who is the strong man who will arise to protect America? Who is the strong man who will expose the straw man in the United States of America? Who is the strong man who will replace the straw man that is running America? How is he going to overcome the China lobby, the Wahhabi lobby? Who is this person? I don't know who the person is, but I'll tell you this. It's strange that over the, well, it's not really strange that a writer in England in a leftist newspaper wrote that we must assume the bowing position when it comes to China, that we must not upset the Chinese, that they themselves are simply following their own philosophy of Confucianism and Mandarinism and all of the highfalutin garbage. And the last thing we should do is confront China in any way, that we should be passive towards China, lest we set off either a trade war or something worse than that. The exact opposite is true. The only thing that could save America is the resurgence of a manufacturing base in this country. I'd like to see the factories reopen. I'd like to see the factories that once built the tanks and the jeeps and the airplanes running again in America. I'd like to see the shipyards running again. I'd like to see the steel factories opening up again. I'd like to see drilling offshore of the United States of America for the first time off the West Coast to make us independent of the Wahhabi blackmailers. I would like to see slope drilling in Alaska. I'd like to see a lot of things done. And I need somebody to get into office who knows how to do it. I don't know who that man is. I know it's not Romney.
Savage.
Jack Hunter is a columnist for the American Conservative. He joins us now on the Michael Savage Show to talk about liberals and their clear hypocrisy with regarding the Libyan war. Jack, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Good to be with you, Michael. We've seen something very interesting happen here recently where a lot of the people on the left, these liberals who used to just go on and on about how terrible George W. Bush was and the invasion of Iraq and everything that happened foreign policy-wise under our previous president, are now defending Barack Obama and what should be rightfully called his Libyan war. His intervention in Libya is very similar, at least the arguments for it, the justifications, if you will, for why we're in Libya are very eerily even similar to what we heard people say in the Bush administration about why we should go to Iraq. But what's curious this time around is that anti-war left, those same liberals who used to hoot and holler and raise holy hell about Iraq, are curiously just okay with us going into Libya. It's sort of mind-blowing.
So which side is Obama on? He doesn't want to get rid of Gaddafi, or he wants to get rid of him?
Well, here's what's interesting about that, Michael. You know, regime change would sort of break up the coalition we have, the countries that have agreed with us going into the NATO countries into Libya. Now, what's interesting about that, the same coalition we had going into Iraq, which was a fairly weak coalition if you look at it, the countries involved in general, the left at that time said that that was sort of a joke of a coalition. If you go back and watch documentaries by Michael Moore and people like that, they sort of make fun of what the Bush administration dubbed a coalition. Well, the reason we can't take out Gaddafi outright is because it would break up the coalition we have now in Libya, which is just as absurd, quite frankly, if not more absurd, than what Bush had in Iraq. That's just one example of left hypocrisy. Let's look at the supposed justification of humanitarian intervention. Now, what did we hear from many of the hardcore neoconservatives during the Bush era who would say, well, not only do we need to take out Saddam Hussein because he supposedly is a threat, but we'd also hear about we need to stand up for human rights and end the genocide in Iraq under Saddam Hussein. Many Republicans at that time said, well, what about these rape rooms we have over there? Virtually no one on the left at the time thought those were useful or proper justifications for going into Iraq. Virtually no one thought that. Yet here we are with Barack Obama. What is his excuse for going into Libya? Humanitarian intervention. And who on the left is criticizing it? Very few. The anti-war left that used to raise holy hell about George W. Bush and his wars might have had a point, but the bigger point is they have proved that they were an anti-Bush movement first and foremost. They are completely gone. Where is Code Pink on Libya? Where are all these people protesting in the streets about what Barack Obama is doing in Libya on the left? We do not see them because they're complete hypocrites. They've become what they once despised. You asked a liberal or a leftist in the last decade what they hated most about George W. Bush, they would talk about foreign policy and civil liberties. This situation in Libya is a prime example of their hypocrisy because it's the exact same thing. Barack Obama's not only extended the Patriot Act, which he said he was going to get rid of, but now we're in a third Middle Eastern war in Libya, and the left says nothing and supports it. Complete hypocrisy.
Do you believe Libya is going to end up in a quagmire?
Well, here's what's interesting about that, Michael. Bush, at least from the outset, said that he believed Saddam Hussein was a threat and we needed to take him out. Obama doesn't even have that. He's admitting from the offset that from the outset that Gaddafi poses no immediate or imminent threat, but we have to go there anyway. As far as it being a quagmire, well, you know, we got involved in Iraq and we're still there. What did the Bush administration officials say? They said it would be a cakewalk. It might be a couple weeks or months at the most, and we would be greeted as liberators. Well, in retrospect, we all know that's not true. We're still in Iraq, and we don't know how long we're going to be there. And Afghanistan, of course, is another story. What are we seeing in Libya right now? As far as it being a quagmire, well, we're aiding the Libyan rebels who everybody in the Obama administration basically says we don't really know who they are. There are all these reports coming out that the Libyan rebels are in cahoots with al-Qaeda. So are we aiding the Libyan rebels slash al-Qaeda in Libya and asking our soldiers to fight these exact same people in other Middle Eastern countries? Yes, I would say that's the definition of a quagmire, something once again we heard all the time during the Bush years, but now we're getting a quagmire Obama style, and the left will not admit it.
Isn't this just a civil war we've stuck our noses in, and isn't Gaddafi the lesser of two evils?
Well, that's exactly right, Michael. I believe George Will, the conservative columnist, has been very good on this. On ABC's This Week, he'd mentioned that, you know, we're basically creating a vacuum by getting rid of Gaddafi, the regime change. Who will fill that vacuum? We do not know. The reason we don't know, it is a civil war. By involving ourselves, we could feasibly come out with a regime that is more anti-American than even Gaddafi, and that's probably the likely scenario given that they're involved with al-Qaeda. Gaddafi, who was a friend of ours just a few short years ago, for whatever insane reason, I mean, the guy is the mad dog of the Middle East that Ronald Reagan once called him. He's a murderous terrorist. If Gaddafi was our ally just a few short years ago, and now he's our enemy, and we are doing things that, in the end, are working towards regime change, despite what Barack Obama says, that is the end game, whether said or unsaid. If that happens, and the Libyan rebels insert or erect a new government, what kind of government will it be? Well, possibly even more anti-American and against our national interests more than what they have now. So I ask once again to my liberal friends, why are we involved in this Libyan war? What possible good could come out of it? And where are you, anti-war left, who raised holy hell about George W. Bush in Iraq and might have had a point, but now you say nothing about what we're doing in Libya, and if history tells us anything, we're going to be there for a lot longer than the administration officials are telling us right now.
Look at the bizarre alliance that's been formed by the neoconservatives, such as William Kristol and liberals, over U.S. intervention in Libya.
Well, that's exactly right, Michael. What we're seeing right now is conservatives who are either against what Barack Obama is doing in Libya, or are highly skeptical of it, to say the least, except for those hardcore neoconservatives. William Kristol said, who is, of course, the editor of the Weekly Standard and the son of Irving Kristol, who basically invented the term neoconservatism. Kristol basically said on Fox News that Barack Obama is a born-again neocon. People said during the election that a vote for McCain would be a vote for another Middle Eastern war. Well, Kristol quipped, and rightly so, well, he did vote for McCain, and we still got a third Middle Eastern war via Barack Obama. The hardcore neoconservatives are the only people who are consistently arguing for more war anywhere and for any reason. They are less bothered by the details of al-Qaeda being with the Libyan rebels and all that, as much they're far more concerned with the fact that we need to be there. That's what the neoconservatives always argue. Well, now you're seeing an alliance with neoconservatives like Kristol and people on the left who are loyal to Obama. The people that the left despised the most during the Bush years were the neoconservatives and their arguments for the war in Iraq. And now those same liberals are aligning themselves with the neoconservatives to defend what Barack Obama is doing in Libya. Not only is that hypocritical and disgusting, but it is against America's national interest. We are not supposed to be the policemen of the world. The founding fathers had it right when they warned against that, George Washington in his farewell address. And Barack Obama is carrying out the neoconservatives' agenda for them and against us traditional conservatives who are asking questions about what he's doing, and also questioning the left, who aren't asking those same questions themselves. And they certainly did during Bush's administration, didn't they?
Wouldn't Senator Obama be all over television accusing President Obama of overstepping his constitutional authority?
Well, that's exactly right. We now know about the famous 2007 quote in which Barack Obama said that the president does not have the power to declare war or go to war unless there is an imminent threat without consulting Congress. Well, that's exactly what he did. Barack Obama had time to go to NATO. He had time to speak to the Arab League, but he did not have time to do his constitutional duty and consult the Congress of the United States before taking this Libyan action. Now, if Gaddafi had nuclear weapons and was on our doorstep and there was an imminent threat, that would be a different situation. But even the president himself has admitted there was no imminent threat. Defense Secretary Robert Gates said the same thing, and yet Barack Obama did it anyways. That is indefensible if our Constitution still has any bearing on how we conduct business in this country in Washington, D.C. And those who defend that on the left, once again, are showing their rank hypocrisy. That cannot be stressed enough.
What do you think is the biggest lesson from watching liberals excuse the war in Libya?
I think the biggest lesson is that we need to remember the hypocrisy on both sides. You know, I was a critic of the Iraq war. I supported going into Afghanistan. And a lot of conservatives after the fact, you know, wondered, you know, to the extent that that was beneficial for the United States. It was a debate we had on the right. Well, on the left, they were dead set against the Iraq war, often on an emotional level, you know, not even looking out for America's interests half the time. It was just sort of this anti-American sentiment half the time. Well, now what we're seeing is them completely laying over. Oh, excuse me, Libya is arguably far worse and detrimental than what we did in Iraq when we come out on the other end of this thing, as far as the questions that it raises about our national interests and what's good for this country. And the left is saying absolutely nothing. What it reminds us of, Michael, is the rank hypocrisy and the hyper-partisanship on both sides, where the same policy under a Republican or Democrat president is accepted or rejected according to which party you're loyal to. I personally think that's a disgusting way to determine America's foreign policy. It should be about what's in our national interest, not the interests of the two parties. That's ridiculous.
Jack Hunter, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Good to be with you as always, Michael. And if you want to learn about this and more, I encourage your listeners to visit SouthernAvenger.com. Y'all take care.
I'll be right back.
Savage.
Let's talk about the death penalty. Coleman in San Antonio is opposed to the death penalty. He's going to have his moment in the sun right now. Coleman, tell us why.
Yes, I'd like to say I'm opposed to it because I don't believe the state should be able to have a monopoly on violence against its people. I think that's a slippery slope, especially if it turns out that they screw up and they execute somebody innocent. They obviously can't bring them back from the dead.
Well, we've heard the argument about the innocent again, but you should understand that with the new science of DNA evidence, that more or less puts that argument to rest. There are videotape interrogations now, easier access to DNA evidence that have been in place to prevent innocent people from being wrongly executed. So that's one point that I'd like to make, but I'd like to make another. Are you aware of the current case of a man whose son was brutally raped and then killed by a man who was an alleged cannibal who was going to get out of jail, and the father said that if he gets out, he's going to kill him? Have you heard that story?
No, and obviously situations like that are horrible, and those monsters don't deserve the comforts of society. They should be chopping rocks in some penal colony somewhere.
Well, Okay, that's a different story, which is maybe they're living a little too well in America's prisons. But the father has said publicly that if they do release this man, which they're going to do, he is going to track him down and kill him. I fear that they're going to arrest the father because we have such a perverted sense of justice in America, that even a grieving father whose son was brutally murdered and raped by a psychotic killer can't even say what he'd like to do to him. He didn't actually commit the crime. We have such a perverted justice system that I fear for this man's freedom, to be honest with you. I support the death penalty for cases like this, by the way. I've heard the other side, and I've thought carefully about it because I'm actually a peace-loving man. I understand that we are a society that has moved away from the eye for an eye revenge mentality of the Bible, supposedly. But I'm going to ask you another question. Don't you think it serves as a deterrent? If a man is about to commit a crime that is punishable by death, wouldn't he choose a state where it's not punishable by death, where he's going to live on death row and have rather in the general population for the rest of his life? Wouldn't he choose that state?
Well, you could also argue that somebody who was crazy and was going to commit the crime anyway knew that they were possibly going to get off easy by getting killed as opposed to spending their life doing something, you know, extremely tough, like some sort of forced labor, which is what people like that deserve in the first place.
Well, you know, we could change the argument, if you wish, and say, all right, you want to do away with the death penalty, then take everybody on death row in America and deport them to Mexico to serve out their life sentences in a Mexican prison. Would that work for you?
Why not? We shouldn't be forced to bear the financial burden of incarcerating these people.
And the cost of death row, keeping someone on death row, is through the roof. I agree with you. I would say that if you're opposed to the death penalty, then you should say, all right, I'll split the baby down the middle with you, so to speak. And we're going to agree that we need much more severe punishments for these monsters. And we're going to deport them to Mexico with permission of the Mexican government. And they're going to serve out the rest of their natural life in a prison in Mexico, which, by the way, doesn't have the death penalty. They're such a civilized nation that they don't need a death penalty. They just wind up with a lot of people beheaded all over the country. So they don't need a death penalty. So let's go to Portland. Lawrence, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Mike. I'm against the death penalty because I believe that if you really wanted to punish that person, keep him alive, you know, he has his own punishment to think about it, you know, counting it all, and you know, he's just going to torture.
But you know, Lawrence, you see, you're not a murderer. You're not an evil man. You would be guilty. Your conscience would eat you alive. But I don't think an average, decent person such as yourself can get into the mind of a murderer who's on death row. They take pride in their work. They are considered heroes in prison. They enjoy a celebrity status for being a murderer who was on death row. It's the opposite of what the liberals tell us. So, okay, you see, I'm lucky. I have a kaleidoscopic mind that what I was blessed with, and it could be a curse, by the way. You ask anybody with an advanced mind that has many compartments and many capacities in any sphere of work, and you'll find out that it's a blessing and a curse. But ever since I've been a child, I was able to really think what the other person was thinking, think through things and try to imagine what the other side was thinking until you say you can go crazy from it. How can you manage all of that and still have an opinion of your own? Well, through a very careful analysis of my own motivations and also what I think is right and wrong. And again, to explain myself, I guess I'm explaining myself a little too much once in a while. I guess I have to do it. Through decades of watching things happen. So I saw a movie, by the way, called on television. I guess I watch too much television, I'll admit it. And a lot of my imagination is based upon, I would suppose, from too much television. I admit it. So I watched military history, but it was enough already. I couldn't take it. Famous tank battles in World War II. It's unbelievable, the heroism of America's troops. But then I moved to a movie called Felony. I forget the actor's name, but it's about a guy, middle-class white guy who is at home with his wife and daughter, and some gangbangers come around to his property and threaten them, and he kills them with a bat. Oh, it's called Felon. Kills them with a bat. And he's put into prison for defending his wife and children. And there's a sadistic prison guard in the SHU. And it's pretty amazing. A family man convicted of killing an intruder must cope with life afterward in the violent penal system. Pretty well done, actually. Stephen Dorff, Marisol Nichols, and Vincent Miller. I don't know who they are, but Stephen Dorff is in it. He plays a pretty good line. And so the family man is living the American dream with his girlfriend, Laura, and their son, Michael. Nice house. And their dream becomes a nightmare when Wade unintentionally kills a burglar that had broken into the house in the middle of the night on his lawn. So he's sent to trial and accepts a deal proposed by the prosecutor, being sentenced to 3 years in prison. And during the transportation, there's an incident in the bus, and Wade is framed and sent to the maximum security wing under the command of the corrupt Lieutenant Jackson. His cellmate, John Smith, was sentenced to life, revenging the death of his family, and he befriends Wade and gives helpful advice on what to do in prison to survive. But some of the scenes of the men thrown into an exercise yard for that 1 hour a day together, where he has to fight virtually every day for his life. Either you beat the other guy almost to a pulp or you get beaten to a pulp. I don't know how much of that really goes on. But it leads you to believe that you don't want to. It leads you to come to the conclusion that, A, there are too many people in prison who don't belong there, which we know is true. I think the last number I read was we had over 2 million people in prison in America. The largest per capita number of people in prison proportionate to the population of the entire world are in the United States of America. It's an industry unto itself. It's worthy of 3 weeks of an investigation as to why so many people are incarcerated. It would lead you to conclude we have to stop the incarceration of people for petty crimes and for marijuana use. I am totally opposed to marijuana use, but I feel if somebody wants to poison their brain and make themselves into a bigger dope than they already are, let them go do it. I feel the same way about drugs, by the way. Unbelievable. It's upside down. The evil in this land is overwhelming. Whichever way you look, liberalism is a mental disorder and an evil one. So, now that I've said it all, good night and good luck. I'm leaving.
Savage.